Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ramble Reacts. Arsenal stride into the Champions League knockouts and what a wonderfully ridiculous match in Istanbul. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Vidhu Shinahantaraja.
Well, well, well. Ladies and gentlemen, good to have you here. Vish, the last time you and I met for one of these, it ended 4-3 to FC Copenhagen when Manchester United travelled away in the Champions League. They drew 3-3 in Istanbul. Your immediate thoughts, please, sir?
Progress, conceding one fewer goal on the road. It rained a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny that sign that said, "Welcome to hell, mate."
Yeah,
I'm already in it. Don't worry about it. We came.
Wet hell.
We brought hell to you.
Yeah.
Immediate reaction is, how did Copenhagen get... I'm more annoyed with Copenhagen, to be honest. How did they get a point against Bayern Munich?
Yeah, that is a bit frustrating.
Harry Kane? Unbelievable. Mm. Can't rely on him to do anything, can you?
You can't. Do you enjoy Manchester United being involved in these great European ties?
I mean, it was only a month ago that I, you know, threw out the idea into the universe that they should be dissolved.
Manchester United.
So, yeah, Manchester United, yeah, yeah, rather than these ties. I think everyone enjoyed this game today. You know what? I enjoyed bits of today's game. You can probably pick it out. If you haven't seen the game, you can probably look at the scores and, you know, when the goals went in and find that window where I was actually quite content.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. I was going to say, you know, that's typical Man United. They don't do it the easy way. But, you know, as we discussed before, that's, you know, this is Manchester United. It's a very different meaning now, doesn't it?
Very different meaning. They Manchester United it up. we asked the good people of X to sum up the game in three words. And a lot of you tweeted us. I think we're not saying X-ing us. And thank you very much for everybody who got involved there. Listener Rory tweeted, "The barn's cremated," which I thought was quite good because it was indeed a barn burner. Simon Elliott said, not Harry's fault. Couldn't agree more, Simon. Couldn't agree more.
Is that your role?
Yeah. Lee Quick 5, good away point. It could prove to be. It could prove to be. Tarek said, Keystone Cops. There it is. incredible stuff. 16 shots for Galatasaray, 17 shots for Manchester United. Manchester United obviously twice had a two-goal lead. They couldn't make it count, though. And I after one of these ridiculous nights, I can't help but think that David De Gea was the winner.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still knocking around Manchester as far as we know. Is he going to be at the airport going, hey guys, how you doing? How you getting on with the new guy?
I don't know if you could see it given the cartoon rain cloud that was permanently over Onana's head, but the shadow was actually De Gea.
Is that right?
So, yeah, that's what he's doing.
I mean, look, Andre Onana is a very good goalkeeper, obviously, hence Manchester United signed him for big old bucks, or pounds as we call them in this country. But he's made a lot of mistakes since he's been there. He's not been there very long, and these are mistakes that he just simply shouldn't be making. It's not like that they're mistakes. And, you know, Ten Hag is saying, well, I've asked him to play like that, so that's going to happen. And they're adapting to the system and they're adapting to the style at the back and they're getting a bit muddled. The two free kicks, the first one, you can see what he's done. He's thought, right, he's going to put it over the wall. I'll go that side. And he's gone way too early. Okay, maybe that can happen once in a blue moon. But as he's made a few, that, you know, that then there's another one. And then the second mistake he made, it's an absolute howler, Vish.
That first free kick from Ziyech, lovely to see him again, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that Galatasaray side, as we said, it's a who's who. It's glorious.
Yeah. Absolute Hall of Fame of your favourite players who you don't actually pay attention to, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But so, you know, that first free kick, and I'm merely going by Bruno Fernandes' reaction in the wall, because there's the, I suppose, the multi-person United wall, and then there are two Galatasaray players, and then there's Bruno Fernandes. And in those kind of situations, you know, you see a lot of times that you'd put a player behind those attacking players so that they'd keep the barrier there. But then often you get that jostle and actually makes it worse. You know, United, I remember a goal United conceded against Liverpool at Old Trafford, which is similar to that, you know, a lot of movement up front. And so in that situation, you know they're going to move away. And it seemed to me that Bruno was stood essentially covering the shot that's not going over the wall, that's aimed for the far corner. You've got the wall where it is to prevent the near post. And then you've got Onana, who, when they part, will just have a view of the ball coming through. And essentially that doesn't come to pass because Onana goes towards that near post side, which is the hardest place to score.
And if he puts it there, you hold your hands up.
Exactly.
Because it has to be good. Unless it goes through the wall, then it's on the wall.
Yeah.
There is a sort of, if you like, a window in which you can pop it in. And if you get it in there, it's a good free kick. There's no question. It is a good free kick if you get it in there. And
exactly.
He thought, oh, there's that a good free kick's not going to be scored against me. And he was right.
He was right. You know, I thought he called it correctly, actually. Yeah. But obviously, you know, in those situations, the wall are governed by the goalkeeper, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, Bruno's exasperation at the end was like, you told me to stand here.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have this bit.
Yeah.
The second one was just, I don't really have any other word for that apart from shambolic, because, you know, you see the replays and you see Martial like almost get his head to it, but you just have to be more decisive.
Yeah,
and I suppose the second free kick goes to a wider point of I think confidence as well. I think a lot of goalkeepers premeditate. You see it with Alisson, probably one of the best in the world at doing that. That's anecdotal for me. I'm sure Edison, and if you're listening, whoever your favourite goalkeeper is good at that as well. But I think when a goalkeeper's out of form, you can really see when the premeditation goes wrong. And I think a lot of the errors, and even some of the errors that Onana's got away with, such as the Icardi offside, for example.
Yeah.
He's almost preempted the dive to either make them make a decision or thinking that's what they're going to do and ends up looking foolish. And it's happened a couple of times this season, maybe even more than that. And that strikes, that just says to me that the bloke's completely out of form and lacking a bit of confidence as well. They made the point that he's been pretty solid over the last few weeks, and that's true to a point because it, you know, tallies with United's results in the Premier League. But you know, it's like Marcus, you alluded to it in your initial framing of all this, that there's, you could understand if he was being told to do something different. For example, if he was conceding goals, or if United were conceding goals broadly because he was giving the ball away because he was trying ambitious passes, or you know, turning and trying to dummy an attacker as they're coming to close them down, then you kind of understand that, because the point is keep hold of the ball, keep it on the deck, spread it about, build from the back. But it's not that, is it? It's rudimentary mistakes, which makes it even worse, because there's no actual cure for that beyond just, you know, sitting him down and just saying, be better.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. And you know what it meant is that Manchester United threw away the lead again in a Champions League game. They've dropped 8 points from winning positions in the Champions League alone this season. And it is extraordinary, really, to think that they are bottom of their group, a group which consists of Bayern, FC Copenhagen and Galatasaray. And no disrespect to FC Copenhagen, but they are now second in the group with 5 points, same as Galatasaray. Manchester United bottom with 4. Manchester United have to beat Bayern at home. Now you go, okay, so they're at home.
Done. Next.
Yeah. Yeah. So which is the least reliable result that they need with regards to the two that that will be in question that evening when it comes around. So Manchester United need to beat already qualified Bayern Munich. So it's just as well Bayern have already qualified, because we saw, you know, against Copenhagen at home, they draw 0-0. They're clearly, you know, I didn't watch the game, but considering how free scoring they've been with Harry Kane up front, it's fair to say they may have just taken it a little bit easy there. Whatever. They've got the job done. Manchester United now need Copenhagen and Galatasaray to draw. They can't have a winner in that game. It is an utterly absurd situation that they've got themselves in. 4 points from 5 games, one win, and that win was was it 1-0 at home against FC Copenhagen? And Wenonana actually was the hero, wasn't he? Saving the penalty in the dying seconds. It has been a disastrous campaign. And they may well squeeze into the Europa League. They may well get a miracle. But it really is quite damning. And I think when that group, when their name was pulled out of the hat for that group, I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I think they've largely got away with one there. No disrespect to Galatasaray, but Manchester United, I think, are better, and I think they proved that in the game that we've just watched. But it really is quite down. But contrast that to the Premier League season, as we often say, you know, that actually they are picking up points in the Premier League. They are getting results together. They're building in confidence. Whereas in Europe, Fish, it's so chaotic. It's great for the neutral. I've really enjoyed watching them play, and I don't mean that as a dig. You know, they've had some lovely moments. Course, yes. Look at Bruno Fernandes' goal. What a beauty! You know, Garnacho scores again. You know, it's a nice McTominay. It was a nice move, but just the mistakes.
Yeah, they seem to emanate from control, don't they? And control's an easy thing to say and a hard thing to implement. But it's been a missing facet of Manchester United's game for a while, as really has been goals more broadly, which makes the fact that, you know, they've scored 9 away from home and yet in the Champions League not yet won a game. They've only got 1 point from it. They've scored 12 in the group stages so far, which is 5 games in. Only Atletico and Man City have more. Both of them have qualified already, by the way. So but they've also, you know, they've become the first team to concede 14 in these first 5 games of the Champions League. And it's interesting, in part because this has been so consistent, and because also Manchester United had the early kickoff in this run of fixtures. There's been, you know, I suppose we've been able to pour over the conversations that they've had post-match, and also just the conversations more broadly that are being had. And someone made a really astute point at Man United Youth on X, or twitter.com. He made the point that, like, McTominay talked about how they need to be more ruthless and kill games off. Well, actually, they'd already killed it off twice, really.
Yeah.
And the point made in the tweet was that, like, he means score more goals, which isn't necessarily covering for, you know, defensive defects. It's more just how they seem to be wired.
Yeah.
And obviously there is a bit of control in there because, you know, and I'm using the example of Man City, but I could probably use the example of Brighton and Brentford as well. But you know, when teams hold the ball, they don't necessarily just pass it around in their positions. They kind of pass it around and then slowly they encroach on the other team, don't they?
Yes.
And it feels like you're not, you know, it's a bit like boiling a frog, isn't it? I know that's a myth, but the analogy of, like, you can't just toss a frog into boiling water. You put it in water and get the water up to boiling point. And it's that point where teams don't realise actually that you're squeezing them and that you're progressing with the ball. So that when you do lose it, you're not in your own half, are you? They've got a lot of ground to make up and you've got people behind the ball. Because even in the chaos at the end when it was 3-3, and it was a deserved 3-3, I mean, that third goal was arguably the best of the lot, I reckon.
Well, it was a beauty. I think Paul Scholes felt Onana was at fault for that one. I understand near post and all that. I think that might be a touch harsh, though, because, I mean, it was a proper hit.
The touch as well from Acıoğlu and then the finish was... I mean, a lot of that is shoot on sight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But at the same time, you still got to do it. It was a remarkable goal, yeah. Mm. But even then, when it was 3-3, United just had to be a bit steadier going forward, and they, you know, would have found that winning goal.
I mean, perhaps they should. I mean, it's interesting to say about the goals scored. I mean, the only teams that have scored more than them in the Champions League so far this season, of course, Manchester City. You mentioned Atletico Madrid, who are doing very well. Real Madrid have got one more than them. And they do have Jude Bellingham playing for them, so that's, you know, that's why.
Oh yeah, sorry, that was at the time of the of full time. Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. So, Arsenal, but again, Arsenal have just crushed Lyon, haven't they? So that's there. And then Manchester United. So it's teams who have fairly comfortably qualified in first position in their groups. Manchester United have scored more goals than Bayern Munich in the Champions League this season. They've got 12, by the way, Manchester United in the Premier League. You have a look, they've scored 16. So they've scored way more times in the Champions League than they have. They've scored the same amount of goals in the league this season than the Nottingham Forest. Both have scored 16. You know, if you look at the league and you look at the goal-scoring stats and all the rest of it, Manchester United are sixth, of course. They're just 4 points off fourth. You have to go all the way down to Crystal Palace in 13th. To find a side who have scored fewer goals than them.
Good, and they're a good team, as you.
They are a good team, Vish. You know, but
good manager, very good manager.
So that shows you how interesting and the contrast between Manchester United in the Premier League, where it is actually fairly tight, but they are picking up points. Whereas in Europe, it's like Ten Hag says, right, handbrake off, lads, do what you want, go crazy, and yes, scoring, but not winning. I find the contrast crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, maybe I'm extrapolating a little bit too much here, but it feels like on those nights they can't quite control themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's quite easy to, you know, I think the way we previewed this game was on Wednesday's show was, or even Monday, actually, when we talked about the way they beat Everton, there was an element of, you know, they played the situation well. They obviously got a wonder goal when they did, which obviously helped. There was the atmosphere, which wasn't necessarily against them. It was for Everton. It was also against the league. So a lot of very different things happening here. And it's almost like United went in and out of Goodison Park without really being noticed, all told.
Well, Garnacho ruined that, didn't he?
He did to a point, yeah. But then people were distracted by that. And then Martial comes and scores the third, didn't he? I'm not suggesting for a second that the Everton defenders were watching replays of that on social media. But yeah, like it's, you know, I know Ten Hag at Ajax was very much thinking about everything going forward, but ultimately he came in as a disciplinarian. You know, it was very obvious where the areas of improvement needed to be. Mm-hmm. And that has been consistent all the way through, really, beyond maybe a patch at the, you know, in the final three quarters of, or rather the third quarter of last season, when United put together that run and ended up moving steadily up the table and were progressing in Europe. But yeah, you know, there was talk today, I don't know if you've seen it, about reinforcements in the January transfer window and stuff. Yes. Like that. And, you know, that's, I wonder how that looks actually financially, really. But yeah, there's a lot of time has been spent on the training ground, and it doesn't feel like all that much is achieved. You don't really, you know, United are scoring goals, Lee form is sound, but it's still, they're still working it out, which after,
yeah,
you know, what after 15 months or so, it just doesn't feel,
well, it just feels like another manager. But since Ferguson, that's what it feels like. Last season suggested that this season would be something, and I think last season, you know, by and large, they did start to sort it out, and you know, they were never going to catch Manchester City, and obviously Arsenal had an exceptional season, but you know, by and large, it was decent. They obviously won the League Cup. This year was meant to be the year that they would at least cement that or kick on. Now in the league, they may well do that. They may well do that, because as I say, look, this is not a kind of, I don't think this is 2 months or 6 weeks ago of, oh my goodness, it's crisis, they're all over the place. Because again, the league form, you know, five wins in the last six, you know, they are showing something, that they are. But in Europe, it is all over the place.
We should probably add a little bit of meat on the bones, not least because,
yes,
that run of Premier League form has a big test coming up against Newcastle,
yeah,
at St James's Park. But, you know, it was a 1-0 home win to Luton in there as well. Obviously, you know, the Everton win was pretty good. There was the
last gasp win against Fulham, yeah.
Yeah, in what you and I can both agree was a dreadful game of football,
yeah,
full start.
Oh, it should have been 0-0, really.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
There was the defeat against Man City. Then there was the 2-1 away to Sheffield United, thanks to a Dalot, worldie, really. So... Mm. You know, we can't really have it both ways. It's not like that. This run of form has come about through, you know, chalk and cheese performances compared to tonight. They haven't been all that convincing, but this has all felt like something to build on. And then a game like tonight happens, or the Copenhagen game happens, where you actually need to flex a bit, and they can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think this will be Manchester United's season. I think this is how it plays out. I don't think it's going to...
Oh, I see. I thought you were saying that as like, look, I thought you were going a bit Rio there. Look, this is Manchester United's time.
No. I think this is how the season will play out. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is their season, mate. You wait. You mark these words.
And sorry, yeah, even... I forgot the last one. You know, even the Brentford game that started this runoff...
Yeah.
Was the, you know, the McTominay double in added time.
As I say, I can't be angry with them, because they've provided me with a lot of entertainment, in particular in the Champions League. And Galatasaray, you know, it's always an interesting place for teams to go. Apparently, the ultras there sent out a message to the fans before the game saying that no phones were allowed in the stands during the game. They said 90 minutes of aggressive support. Go to war with the team. And when Garnacho scored that goal... You heard the noise. It was the home fans like giving it plenty, and I love that Garnacho, just not fazed by anything, was giving it plenty to them as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Are you excited to get started? Don't push me. You're on television. Doesn't look good being manhandled by security, Eric. It's Man United, a big club.
Just to reiterate, because Copenhagen drew with Bayern, Manchester United have to beat Bayern, of course, at Old Trafford, and then hope FC Copenhagen and Galatasaray draw, which would be absurd if they managed to get through. If I was a Manchester United fan, I think I'd bite your hand off for a Europa League spot.
I don't know, actually.
Or you prefer to crash out altogether?
I think it might be more beneficial in a way.
Yeah.
Not least because...
The Europa League, when they created that tournament, how many times have they heard, I think it would be beneficial, rather not be in it? They're like, oh, come on. Come on, at least wait to the latter stages.
Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, just to avoid the Thursday-Sunday thing, like, I think that... That really stretching out of the back in the last season. Obviously, they're contending with a few injuries now, getting a few players back slowly but surely, but I don't think anyone needs that in their life.
Yeah, okay. Well, one side who won't be in the Europa League is Arsenal, of course. They beat Lens 6-0. Yeah, exactly, yeah. They had a go at the Europa League last season, of course, or was it last season, I think? Yeah, and failed. Yeah. So... you know, they've stepped up to the Champions League and they think they might fare better there. But yeah, they've marched into the knockouts. I mean, 5-0 at half-time, bloody hell. And yeah, it was quite extraordinary, really. They just thought to themselves, let's put on a show here. Jim Campbell will be probably in the stands. Let's give him a nice little treat. It's a cold night and let's warm everybody up because they're going to be getting out of their seats every few minutes, it would seem. Great performance from Arsenal, though, Fish. That's how you do it.
Yeah, no, without doubt. You know, we talked last season about how in the league specifically, there was a point where like Arsenal being as good as they are became the norm.
Yeah.
You know, you have to work to that. And it basically is by showing people that you don't make the same mistakes, that you're not, you lose that kind of typical insert the name of club thing. Yeah. Mm. And nights like this, I think, lend itself to that because, you know, they did lose the reverse fixture and they've come out here and thought, no, we're just going to pump you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to live with us here.
Yeah.
And it was such a dominant... It was almost like... You could even go as far to say that it's sending a little bit of a message to the other teams in this competition.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think it's an interesting one, the Champions League. I mean, obviously, Bayern will be... you know, among the favourites, you know, Real Madrid, purely for the fact they've got Jude Bellingham, for crying out loud. But they'll always be mentioned.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Did you say Real Madrid will always be mentioned in the Champions League now because of Jude Bellingham?
No. I said Real Madrid will always be mentioned in terms of teams who can win the Champions League. You know, they're always just going to get a mention.
By the way, I wasn't pulling you up to disagree with you. I agree.
Yeah, right.
put all your medals in the bin. You're a one-man team.
Yeah.
But embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace it. You should be lucky.
Is this what the Germans are going to be saying to us in the summer?
Almost certainly. Almost certainly.
He's going to win us all the cups. It's going to be brilliant. And the Nations League. Atletico Madrid, who I think that's more of an outside bet, to be honest with you. I don't think PSG will do it. If Newcastle can take 4 points off them, then, you know, Man City are obviously there, and Barcelona are not quite the team they were. So it's not stupid to think that Arsenal could go quite far in this competition. What do you think? Do you think that's a ridiculous thing to suggest that we could be, you know, Arsenal might find themselves in a quarterfinal, semi-final? Dare I even suggest further than that?
No. Like, I mean, why would it be? Like, you basically listed off the clubs that you don't rate anymore. You called Real Madrid a one club, one man team as well. But there is, you know, they're a stronger squad. There is a bit more in the tank there. There is a bit more
Declan Rice in there.
Yeah, sense of belonging. There is a lot more Declan Rice in there. Yeah,
100% more Declan Rice.
Yeah, now we've added Declan Rice. Yeah.
And Kai Havertz is scoring goals for fun.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you and I have different, you know, ideas of the word fun in that context. But he's scoring goals, isn't he? He has scored some goals.
I'm thinking of fun-sized Mars bars.
Yeah,
There's less of Mars in a fun size.
Yeah. Do you ever do that thing with a box of celebrations where you eat like a load of like one same type ones. Of small candy? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a
you
kind fan.
Of think maybe I should have got the chocolate bar.
Yeah, or you,
what have I done
what,
here?
What I would like is to get a box of celebrations, which is really massive, and you pull out actual full bars of them. You know,
that would be so good.
Yeah,
why hasn't someone done that?
I mean, it'd be utterly preposterous. You know, just get
100
yourself
quid.
just get yourself a selection box. That's all you got to do, really, isn't it? I don't know. I love a bounty, me, if you're asking.
Yeah, bounty's good. Bounty's good. Topic, underrated.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. Yeah. I would go along with that.
I'd love to see a advent calendar.
Right.
For the big, like, as in proper bars.
Someone said that they saw an advent calendar once which had cheese in it, and I thought,
that's awful.
That is awful. You've got to keep it in the fridge, clearly.
Unless the cheese that you age is the last one, and they work like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like a dairy lunchable is like the first day of Advent, and then
you're saving the French cheese till last.
Yeah, because that needs time to breathe, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. But keep it in the fridge if there is such a thing. So we think Arsenal are going to win the Champions League because everyone else is crap. Okay, great. Elsewhere in their group, did you see that PSV came back from 2-0 to beat Sevilla 3-2? Now, people might immediately say, well, it's not the Europa League, so are Sevilla really putting it in? Well, fine, but there's a chance they might miss out on the Europa League. They're fourth. They are 3 points behind Lens, who are third. I think they're going to miss out on the Europa League, which is a huge boost, by the way, to everyone who is competing in the Europa League, we should say.
Just to quote Jeff Goldblum, nature finds a way, doesn't it? Somehow, I think they'll get through.
Technically, you're not quoting Jeff Goldblum, though, are you? You're quoting his character.
Well, what's his character's name, then?
Dr. Nick Riviera. Yeah, no, I can't remember his name.
Dr. Bloom.
Big Doctor. In that game, Sergio Ramos scored the opener, of course, which was the Champions League's 10,000th goal. Fitting. Very, very fitting. There was no...
You know those stories when, like, a criminal wins the lottery? do you know what I mean? Doesn't it feel like that?
Look.
He's on day release, buys a ticket, and he's, like, won the Euro Millions.
I understand.
It's exactly like that. Don't try and water it down. It is exactly... It's like an ex-con winning the lottery.
I understand Ramos has acted and done things that a convict would do when on the football field. I understand that point. But the man has won the Champions League a fair few times.
Yeah, sure. It just feels a little wasted. If he'd got the the 1,000th red card.
Yeah, well, exactly. Perfect. I think that would be more fitting.
Because he's done the donkey work for that stat.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit disappointing that there was no. We kind of found this out sort of retrospectively, didn't we, from the game. There was nothing to signify that the 10,000th goal had gone in. I feel that there should have been a bit more pomp and ceremony. And I say this because, as I've mentioned on this pod before, the only time I've been to the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City was to witness Cruz Azul beat Querétaro 3-0. And in that game, the 10,000th goal was scored at the Azteca Stadium. And when it went in, fireworks, it was quite a scene for the goal. And I'm glad it went to the home side and it was a thumping, diving header because moments before that, a crappy own goal was nearly scored by the home team, which nearly squirmed under the goal. Could you imagine if that went in and fireworks going off. So yeah, I think that Ramos has been denied a bit of pomp and ceremony there, and I think it's a bit of a shame. But Vish, do you know who scored the first goal in the Champions League back in 1992? Daniel Amakachi.
Ah!
How about that? The former Lovely. Everton man. I stress that he didn't score that goal while playing for Everton. Which would have been quite something.
Yeah, that's why they're in the docks now. Why were you even in that?
Staying with Sevilla just for a little moment longer. Their lineup was the oldest in the competition's history tonight. And that's just Sergio Ramos.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to rate that.
I do. The old boys. But yeah, the goal puts Ramos level with Roberto Carlos and Gerard Pique for the most goals scored by a defender in the Champions League history. 16.
Only 16. He started taking penalties late, didn't he, when Ronaldo left? So
yeah, but it's not penalties though, is it? It's headers getting on the end of stuff.
No, but in terms of like totting up as well.
Yeah, a remarkable play. Have you ever seen Ramos play in the flesh?
Yeah, yes, I have. Yeah,
I think the most intriguing footballer of our generation in that. Won everything, and he's won everything a number of times over. You know, part of the greatest international team we've ever seen, that Spain team, or those sort of incarnations of that Spain team, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. At times, when he's on the ball, looks phenomenal. And yet, the red cards, the way he behaves, and sometimes getting caught out like he is a Sunday morning defender, Sunday league defender. He is just absolute box office. He is an incredibly attractive man.
He is, actually.
And looks better now than he's ever done.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like a Wario Beckham now, doesn't he?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I do like that.
Like a bit more edge, which is what people want. I suppose that in part is coming from playing with a lot of high-profile players.
Yeah.
And also, like, when you were talking about the defence he was part of before mentioning Spain... I immediately thought of a long-time clubmate who I regard as, you know, not to say underrated because it's overused in football, but a player that I would love to, like, have a long read of and watch exclusively his highlights for his career. Marcelo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He is a one-of-a-kind fullback. And I suppose because he came in an era where, we have this infatuation with Brazilian fullbacks. You mentioned Marcelo, and then someone mentioned someone else, and someone mentioned someone else. You start a daisy chain without actually sitting down and being like, "How good was this player?"
Well, I think Dani Alves took a lot of the plaudits there, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Rightly so, but Dani Alves was in one of the greatest, if not the greatest, club side we've ever seen in our lifetime. We could talk long into the night about all this stuff, and I think we have. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed it. So that is the end of today's Ramble Reacts. Thank you very much for listening. We're back on Friday alongside Jim Campbell and Luke Moore. How about that? In the meantime, do find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And remember to subscribe on your podcast app. The reason why I call it X is to remind everyone what an absolute bellend Elon Musk is. Lots of love, everybody. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.